Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Saturdays podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Okay, so I'm really excited to talk about Revelation. Some of you guys, it's okay, admit it, you're not excited. Right? Anybody not excited? You guys are excited? I'm excited then too. I want to start off this morning with a question, and I want you to answer the question out loud. What comes to mind when you think about the book of Revelation?
Jesus Christ.
Somebody goes to a good church. What else? Jesus, just Jesus?
The apocalypse.
The apocalypse.
The end times.
Anything else?
Confusion.
Anything else?
Peace.
What was that?
Peace.
Peace. All right. I'm going to name some for you guys. Anybody want to say like the mark of the beast? Will it happen in my lifetime? Who do you think the Antichrist is? You guys have heard this stuff, right? You guys know when Ronald Reagan was president, there was a whole proponent of people that thought he was the Antichrist, and I'm going to tell you why. Because his name is Ronald Edward Reagan, and each of those words have six letters. Right, so this is a thing people do. We're having a little fun with it. All right, the rapture. The rapture. When is the rapture? How will the rapture happen? There's a rapture. There's not a rapture. And this is really the question everyone is asking, because they want to know, am I getting out of here before things get crazy? They're not asking because they want to know what the Bible says. They want you to show them scripture and say, hey, don't worry about it. Before things get uncomfortable, you get to be in heaven with Jesus. And this is what people are asking. And so it's, am I going to be persecuted or will I be sitting on a cloud with a harp? And neither answer is a good answer for the question. So we'll get into all that. But as we start this, I want all of us to admit something. And I'm going to admit it first, then I'm going to ask you to admit it. And it's this. I don't know it all. Are you guys comfortable saying that? I'm only going to say it today. I'll say it again. So all together, we're going to say it. Ready? I don't know it all. And the reason I know that I don't know it all about the book of Revelation is my wife and I, we were both raised in Christian homes, and we both saw the same terrible movie when we were kids. And this was the movie. They introduced you to all these characters. They're building all these characters. They're making you love these people, their friends, their families. And then all of a sudden, you see this trumpet in a cloud, and then half the people are gone, and where they are standing is a pile of folded clothes with shoes on top and socks in the little ball. All over the world are these piles of clothes. Guys are going out to get gas. They're driving past the piles of clothes. And so here's the thing, and I'm going to take it there just so we can have some light humor, but people that are Christian, they wear underwear, but there was no underwear there. Because that wouldn't have been cool to show on the movie. But yet you're showing half the people disappearing, and you're so sad for this guy because his wife and his kids are gone and he's stuck there. And it's this horrible representation of what's going to happen in the book of Revelation. And that's what we're showing people. And so there's a lot of craziness about the book, and there's two real responses to it. The first one is people get obsessed with it. They treat it like a prophetic jigsaw puzzle. And they're trying to crack the code of the book of Revelation with the newspaper. This week, a popular preacher sent me, because I've been Googling and reading the book of Revelation on my Bible Gateway and all the other places. I get this offer, and it's like, see this giant chart that explains the book of Revelation. This thing has seven panels. It folds out. Every horn of the beast has a meaning in today's culture. And I'm looking at this thing like, that can't be it. That decipher cannot be it. And so maybe you've seen the complicated charts. I'm not recommending you look at them. That's why I'm not showing you one right now. I have a pretty basic outline. I'm going to hand it out in a little bit to give you some grid work. But I don't have the key to decipher the hidden riddle of Revelation. So when people get obsessed, they miss the purpose of the book. And what is the purpose of the book of Revelation? To reveal Jesus. Okay, 1988, who was alive? 1988, a man wrote a book called 88 Reasons Why Jesus Was Going to Return in 1988. Anybody have a recollection of this?
I missed it.
Okay, no problem if you missed it. Probably good that you missed it. 88 reasons Jesus will return in 1988. When Jesus didn't return the next year, 89 reasons why Jesus is going to return in 1989, the very next year. Tried to get a copy of these books to show you, but they're like $60, and I couldn't do that just to show you a book that we weren't going to read. All right, so some people think we can't know the day or the hour, but we can know the month or the year. And they write books like that. And some people think we can know the generation of Christ's return. And of course, it's always the current generation. You know, one author was overwhelmed at the state of the world around him, and he wrote this. He wrote, "Desolating earthquakes, sweeping fires, distressing poverty, political profligacy, private bankruptcy, and widespread immorality, which abound in these last days, obviously indicate the Lord is returning immediately." Does that sound like today? Some of you want to look up political profligacy. All right. Anyway, those words were written by William Miller in 1843, and he disappointed tens of thousands of Christians in America who followed him to a hillside to wait for Jesus to come back. So when we talk about the return of Jesus as if we're out of here and all you evil folks are going to burn, and we set times for it to happen, it really hurts the credibility of the gospel. So in Mark 13:32, you guys are familiar with this verse. This is Jesus speaking. Everybody say, Jesus said. But no one knows the hour, the day and the hour. I'm sorry, I'm reading this all wrong. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So see the gravity. Jesus doesn't even know. The angels don't know. They're not making preparation for it. They don't know. Only the Father knows. Jesus didn't say, "I will come again, so speculate and argue until you figure out when." We aren't supposed to be wasting our time figuring out how the poor, powerless church is going to be rescued. Jesus told us to spend our lives with the power and authority he gave us, loving our neighbors, giving to the poor, preaching the good news, healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead, casting out demons, setting captives free, bringing heaven to earth, destroying the works of the devil until the kingdom of this world becomes the kingdom of our God. Amen. Jesus isn't coming back to rescue his poor, powerless bride. Yes. He's coming back to rule and reign with his powerful bride. He told us not to be unequally yoked. So you might look at the church as a whole, but at some point, there's going to be growth and maturity and power in that bride. It isn't the church suffers loss after loss and the world becomes more evil. Amen. The church, the bride, grows and expands and matures, and the kingdom of this world becomes the kingdom of our God. And Jesus comes back to sit on the throne of those kingdoms. I will admit that it seems like that. It seems like the world's getting more evil and more evil, but I think the divide is growing. I think there's nothing new happening. I think the church is moving one way and the world is moving the other. So remember, the first common reaction to the book of Revelation is people obsess over it. The other thing people do, and I'll be honest, this is me or was me, is just ignore it. Anybody else?
Yeah.
All right. Just real quick. Revelation chapter 13. You guys know that song we sing all the time, Worthy of It All?
Yeah.
Revelation chapter 13. So maybe we don't ignore as much as we think. All right, anyway. It was presented to me as something I could never understand. I'm not really a jigsaw puzzle kind of guy. I'm not going to do that. No. And so I don't see that kind of thing as fun. And there's a whole portion of the body that just doesn't read Revelation because they don't want to do a puzzle. But maybe it isn't a mystery. Maybe we just need to read it for what it actually says instead of trying to figure out its hidden meaning.
Right.
Don't misunderstand. There's treasures and mysteries that the Holy Spirit reveals to us in the entire Bible. But when it comes to reading the rest of the Bible, we read it for what it actually says first. Have you ever watched a movie with someone who wasn't watching the movie? This happened to me yesterday. The storyline was fairly well presented, but they were on their phone or cooking food or seem to figure out what was going on. Don't watch a movie with my mom. Who remembers when you could not pause TV? My kids, I'm telling you, my kids, the fighter jets are in the air and the aliens are coming down and there's 3 minutes left in the movie, like, I gotta pee, pause it. And we're all like, yeah, anyway. All right, so the storyline, never mind. This is what we do with the book of Revelation. We read a little here, a little there, and we miss the point of the movie. I never really did a serious study of the book until one of my kids became that obsessor. He had all this fear. We got to figure out who the Antichrist is. And maybe the mark of the beast is social media. And there's locusts as big as dump trucks. And are we going to get raptured before things really get uncomfortable? Dave has a rapture joke. I'll let him tell that on Mother's Day. Anyway, we'll cover all this a little later. But there's something I want to hint at right now. The word rapture does not appear in the book of Revelation. Neither does the word Antichrist. Revelation is a book of signs and symbols. People have drawn conclusions trying to interpret that through the lens of current events. There is a reason the Left Behind series is on the fiction shelf. This month, my challenge to you is to read this book for what it actually says and to read it straight through. Don't just jump around or skip parts. Look at what's actually happening. Don't treat it like a puzzle. Treat it as a letter in which John is sending seven visions he had to the church of the first century. Not to scare them, but to encourage them. All right, we're going to start reading it together right now. I've set the lofty goal of the first three verses. Revelation is an invitation to see Jesus as he is right now and how he will be for eternity. We have the Gospels and they show us Jesus as fully God and fully man. We have a small glimpse at the end of the Gospels and in parts of Acts of who the resurrected Christ is. But Revelation gives us a huge glimpse of who Jesus is as the resurrected one and who he will be in eternity. So how do I know that Jesus is different than the Jesus in the Gospels? Different yet the same. Hear me out here. The book of Revelation written by John, you know John, the disciple that Jesus loved? John, the one who leans right up against Jesus at the Last Supper? That same John encounters the resurrected Jesus, and in verse 17, it says he fell down as though he was dead. Do you remember Saul before he was Paul? Riding his donkey, Jesus comes. Acts chapter 9, as he journeyed and came near Damascus, suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. He fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It's not Jesus grabbed his brightest flashlight and pushed Saul on the ground. That's actually Saul's reaction to the resurrected Jesus falling on the ground. But he's not taking him out, he's giving him an opportunity to change. The book of Revelation actually shows us what the resurrected Jesus is like. So I'm getting way ahead of myself. Let's go ahead and start with verse 1. Remember, our goal today is to get through verse 3. John, the disciple of Jesus, is an old man. He's a prisoner on the island of Patmos. He's the disciple Jesus loved, and he's caught up in the Spirit and begins to have seven visions. Translators would agree, this is the worst Greek grammar in the whole Bible. It would paint a picture of someone furiously writing, not carefully crafting a letter. All right, Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. I hope you're there. The revelation of
Jesus Christ.
That word revelation is a Greek noun. The Greek noun apokalypsis. It's a compound word. It combines apo, to lift, and kalapo, the veil or the cover. It could be translated the lifting of the veil or the unveiling. That word revelation. This is where we get the English word apocalypse. Not the end of the world with robots or zombies. It's the unveiling, apocalypse, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. The implication could simply be stated, here he is, It's not lifting the veil of coming events, but the unveiling of who Jesus is. Have you ever been to a wedding? Nobody? We got to have one here. All right. You've been to a wedding. We have a super odd tradition at a wedding of veiling the bride. Have you ever been to the wedding where you've never seen the bride before? This happened to me one time. One of my cousins was getting married. Kathy and I flew out to Colorado. I watched this whole service not knowing what this woman looks like. Not that it mattered to me. My cousin was happy, but we're just like, okay, she's about that tall. Yeah. But it's a weird tradition, right? But this is what happens. We unveil the bride, and you see her. All right, so that's really what the book's about. It's about a wedding, and it unveils who Jesus is. And when we see who he is, then we see who we are. It's the unveiling of Jesus Christ and his church and who they will be for eternity. When you go to the store or to the library or to the internet to pick out a book, do you pay attention to the title? Right. If you snagged a book of bacon recipes and opened it up and found it was about intermittent fasting and plant-based eating and tax code and gun control, would you feel cheated?
Yes.
Right. Especially if you bought it. I'm not sure how so many Christians have missed this. This book is about the unveiling, the revelation, the apocalypse, meaning the lifting of the veil of Jesus Christ. Not about how evil the Antichrist is. It's not a book about what is coming. It's a book about unveiling who is coming. The book is about God's best, not the devil's worst. All right, in the title yet. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. All right, this word shortly here doesn't necessarily mean soon from a writer's perspective. There's a bunch of Greek in here. The Greek word is tachos. Sounds pretty good, tachos. All right, which is where we get our word tachometer. That car's revving. And so this is a definition of time, but it's more, it's going to happen quickly once it starts. And then it says, I'm going to start over, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place, he sent and signified. We're going to look at that word signified real quick. Sorry for the Greek study, but we've missed this for so long. The Greek word actually means to give a sign. It's the word most often used in the New Testament for miracle. 77 times, this word signify, to give a sign. The Aramaic likewise can be translated symbolized. The book of Revelation is full of symbols. It's saying right here in verse 1, this is a book of symbols. What John is seeing is seven visions. At times he's seeing heaven, at times he's seeing earth. He's seeing things that don't typically fit into what we observe in the natural. It's likely those things won't appear on the earth in the natural. Everybody okay? Literally, they represent something else entirely, or they're glimpses into another realm. In the Bible, we have glimpses into heaven, and they describe awesome creatures that honestly would totally freak us out if we saw them because they belong in heaven. So when you read about the beast rising out of the sea, it's quite possible that it exists in the spiritual realm and won't actually happen on earth. Signs and symbols, probably not literal. Maybe it's a good time to say again that I don't know everything. And if I'm wrong, I will be the happiest person the beast ever eats. I'm okay. All right? Everybody good? All right. All right, so verse 1 again. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must surely take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. Hey, we got through verse 1. All right, verse 2. Who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to the things that he saw. Verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it. The book of Revelation is the only book in the Bible that promises a blessing to those who read it. I got more Greek and I'm wondering if we want to do it or not. All right, we'll do it. All right, so verse 3. The Greek adverb, egos. I'm pronouncing these wrong, so if any of you are Greek scholars, I'm sorry. agus is taken from the verb acho, which means to squeeze, to hold the reins of, or to throttle. There's a sense in which the understanding of the book of Revelation is ready to be unveiled to the reader that is ready to receive it. The time for this revelation is now. It's not in the past or in the future. All right. Now that I've significantly confused everyone, let's roll through some keys. You don't need to write these down. I printed them out for you. I'm going to give them to you later, because if I give them to you now, you'll just read them and check out. All right, the first key. I had a couple choices here. I could do 144,000 keys, 666 keys, or 7 keys. So we went with 7. The first key, the first people to read the book of Revelation were first century Christians. So we read it over their shoulder. We need to understand how they would have read it before we apply it to us. It doesn't matter what you think it means. How they would have understood it is what it meant. It didn't say, they didn't read it and say, let's put this really weird book in the Bible and it'll make sense in 2022. They saw some sort of value in their understanding of it without our current events. And there's something in there that doesn't need to be decoded. So number one, the first people to read it were first century Christians. We need to read it over their shoulder. The second key to reading the book of Revelation, only Jesus is able to open up the scroll and unlock its deep mysteries to us. You'll see this when you get to chapter 5. The hidden mysteries in this book come through knowing Jesus. Number three, the third key, we must approach this book with a spirit of worship, not speaking a word of scholarship. Worship's found throughout the book of Revelation. There's 7 songs in Revelation. If our study of Revelation doesn't lead us to worship, we're doing it wrong. If it leads us to fear and dread and arguments about the end times, we're doing it wrong. All right, number four, fourth key. The Holy Spirit is the one that removes the veil and helps us receive the truth of Revelation. That said, if a veil is being removed, what is the veil? 2 Corinthians 3:14 says the veil is the law. It's a sin-focused theology that you're looking at and evaluating yourself rather than looking at Jesus and what he's done. The veil is shame and guilt and law-keeping. It makes you want to put on fig leaves and hide from God. Trying to do what we can't keeps us from seeing Jesus. That's the veil. All right, number five, fifth key. Said this a bunch of times, going to say it again, just trying to get it from different angles. It's the unveiling of Jesus Christ, not the revelation of the Antichrist. The word Antichrist does not appear in the book of Revelation. It's not a revelation of his second coming. It's a revelation of him. It's the unveiling of Jesus to me and the unveiling of Jesus in me, because we are one with him. When he is unveiled, we are unveiled. It isn't Christ in heaven, the hope of glory. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Does that make sense? All right. Christ is coming back, but he's also being revealed to us. All right, sixth key. Jesus spoke in parables and continues to teach in parables. This is a book of signs and symbols. I gave you the secret word. All right, the language of the heart is pictures. You guys ever been with somebody that can't speak the language that you speak and you just show them a picture? This is before they could talk to Google and Google would translate for you. With our oldest Jonah, when he's not sure what we mean or we're not sure what he means, we should look at pictures. It is the universal language. Here is a picture. This is what I'm talking about. This is what we're doing. So this is a language that God speaks. Some of you guys that will prophesy, and those of you that know me, when I prophesy over somebody, it starts with a picture that I see, and then I ask the Lord what it means. And then it becomes a prophetic word. All right, so this is a language God speaks. So the book of Revelation is in that language. There are pictures that you'll see of what's happening, and they mean something. So this is a book of signs and symbols. Do you guys have it? You got it? All right. Seventh key, last one. The key to interpreting Revelation is in the other 65 books of the Bible. You would never begin at the end of the book and expect to understand what's happening. When we look at the other 65 books, we see that the signs and symbols, what the signs and symbols in Revelation mean. So the book of Revelation, I mentioned before, 22 chapters, 404 verses. Depending what scholar you read, there are 300 to 800 direct references to the Old Testament. We'll get into some more of this later this month. The other readers would have had access, the early readers, the original readers, would have had access to the Old Testament. So I'm going to give you a quick example, just real broad, that, you know, he's coming on the clouds. We sing it all the time. Kings and kingdoms will bow down. Some of you guys have had interesting dialogue with me about what that means. Because everywhere in the Old Testament, when it talks about a cloud, it's people. So maybe he's coming on us. All right. You can hand those out, because I'm going to go over the outline, and then we'll be done. Thank you. So the book of Revelation, I'm going to give you an outline. The book of Revelation, seven separate visions. I don't normally like outlines, because I feel like they box everything in, but I think we'll need one at this point. Each vision, each of these visions is a picture of the finished work of Jesus. The first vision, chapters 1 to 3, show Christ in the center of his church and the church in the center of the world. The second vision show the church in trial and persecution. No rapture allusion between those two sections. Just goes right from Jesus with the church to the church being persecuted. The third vision, chapters 8 to 11, shows the church protected and triumphant. God also avenges the church. The fourth vision, chapters 12 to 14, Christ and his church oppose the beast, the false prophet, and the Antichrist. The fifth vision, chapters 15 to 16, the wrath of God on those that will not repent. The sixth vision, chapters 17 to 19, is the fall of Babylon and the destruction of all the beasts that rose against God. The seventh vision, chapters 20 and 22, the judgment of Satan and the eternal victory of Christ and the church forever. Guys, good? It's a lot, I know. It's heavy. All right, I'm going to close, believe it or not. And I say that, I'm actually going to do it. I'm going to close with what one author wrote about Revelation, about what it's actually about. It's about the judge and not the judgments, the lamb and not the dragon, the spirit of God, not demons, the rider on the white horse who has four names, not the four horsemen of the apocalypse. It's about the throne of God, not the seat of the beast. It's about the lion of the tribe of Judah, not the beast coming out of the sea. It's about the faithful and true witnesses, not the false prophet. It's about the 144,000 sons of God on Mount Zion, not the beast on the earth. It's about those who have the Father's name on their forehead, not the mark of the beast. It's about the New Jerusalem, not the mystery of Babylon. It's about the bride of the Lamb, not the whore of Babylon. It's about Jesus on the throne, not the dragon cast out of heaven. It's about the glory of God, not the darkness that covers the earth. It's about overcomers, not churches whose candlesticks are removed. It's the unveiling of Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. If you guys want to stand up, I'll pray and close. So, Father, we thank you for this book. We pray, Lord, that you would show us what it actually means and how to apply it to our life today. We thank you, Lord, for the weighty subjects that it covers. We cast off any spirit of dread and ask for your hope to replace in our hearts those things. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing among us. Give us the courage to dive deep this month into this book and to learn about the resurrected Jesus and who he is right now and who he'll be forever. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, have a good week.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm digging a well in the valley of my weeping. I'm digging a well.